is Greg Buemel. Buemel, sorry. He is a toxicologist with more than 20 years of experience in human health risk assessment, regulatory support, database management, and risk communication. He has a master's in toxicology from NC State University and has supported EPA's Water Security Division for the last 6 years in development, population, and maintenance of the Water Contaminant Information Tool. Welcome.
Thank you. My disclosure, I have nothing to disclose. I have no, supposed to read it exactly. I have no relationship to disclose. So let's go on from there. I'm going to talk to you today about what is WCIT, which is the Water Contaminant Information Tool. And it's a secure website that EPA developed with information on priority contaminants concerning all hazards in drinking water. Essentially, it was developed originally in response to the terrorist attack in 2001. It was released in 2005. The original set of contaminants were those that were considered to be a threat based on terrorism, but after Hurricane Katrina, it became more of an all-hazard system, and so it has now a list of contaminants in it that pose serious threat if accidentally or intentionally introduced into water systems. It was developed using experts from EPA, FDA, different other U.S. agencies, USDA, in an effort to select a list and then populate it with relevant information. The data are peer-reviewed and are specific to the needs of drinking water and wastewater systems. So in WCIT, when we talk about fate and transport, you'll find that it's fate and transport inside a drinking water system and not just fate and transport in the environment. As I said, WCIT now is capable of responding to natural disasters, accidents, or intentional attacks. It was developed to support water system contamination threats. The biggest threats are recognized now as being from natural disasters as opposed to acts of terrorism. But there are occasional, terrorism is always a bad word, but there are occasional intentional introduction of contaminants into drinking water systems. Oops. WCIT can be used to help you prepare for a contamination event, to help to detect those contaminants that have been entered into a system, how to respond to the system, and then how to recover and get the system back after a contamination incident. So to do this, because the data in WCIT are compiled from public sources, but since they've been put into one place, and this goes back to the concern about terrorism, EPA restricts access to WCIT because the data as compiled are considered to be sensitive because we've put into one place everything we know about what to do with certain of these contaminants. Public health officials are now allowed to receive access to WCIT. It originally was federal officials, state drinking water officials, utilities, and a few other agencies and associations who are allied with EPA on drinking water. But now state public health, state, county, local public health officials have access to WCIT, and I'll talk to you later about how you get that.
Greg, I'm sorry, I had a little trouble with the acoustics. The reason they're not open access, you mentioned the first bullet was because they're all in one place?
Here, essentially, you could go out and collect all the data yourself. But since it has all been collected and it includes a lot of information, the idea is that by compiling the data into a single database, you've now made it more useful for a terrorist to look through and say, oh, that's a really good choice, or, hey, they have actually great ability to respond to that. That would be a bad choice to select to introduce. And that's the legacy. Once you've now declared something sensitive, it's very hard to unsensitize it. You know, so while if they were developing it today, I doubt that it would be such a restricted use database. I don't know if you'll ever unrestrict its use.
Right.
But that's where it came from, that nothing in it is classified. The data are all referenced, and so you can actually find out where the data came from, and you could take the time. But EPA spent a lot of time and money collecting it, and then became concerned that by collecting it all in one place, it made it terrorism sensitive.
That was our money. Thank you very much.
Okay. This is the basic information in WSET. We call it a contaminant profile. You can see on the left side, there are all the different categories of data that are in WSET. The beginning is, you know, very general information. You know, how do you identify the contaminant? Some physical properties, availability. Where would you get this? This can be important for utilities and even responders. You know, where would this come from? What's its fate in transport in a drinking and wastewater system? And then medical information and toxicity information for first responders and other health officials. Field and laboratory methods to identify it, both screening and confirmatory. Particularly confirmatory becomes important at the end because you have to prove that your system's clean. How to treat drinking water that's been contaminated. Some water quality indicators so that if drinking water systems actually monitor their system and gives them an indication that there might be a problem as pH changes and conductivity changes and do those things that they've monitored match the contaminant. Some environmental indicators, if it happens to be released to the environment, these tend to be effects on birds and fishes, animals. Then wastewater treatment, because all drinking water eventually becomes wastewater, and finally some infrastructure decontamination. So the information that's been put in WSET by to support public health officials are both medical information and toxicity information regarding the contaminants. I guess I should have said earlier, contaminants are not just chemical. Essentially, they're broken into chemical and biological. So there are a number of pathogens that are in WSET as well as the chemicals. So toxicity information doesn't apply to everything. So here's an example with a chemical where we have the pesticide malathion. And you can see it starts with some information about who's at risk, what are the threats of secondary contamination. And then there's some detailed medical information. The medical information, as you can see, this talks about ingestion, but it's broken up by ingestion, dermal, and inhalation exposure to give, since those are the three most common routes, assuming a drinking water exposure. You can, most cases you drink it, but you do get a number of these contaminants can either be aerosolized, for example, in a shower, or they'll be released as a gas from a pressurized drinking water system. And obviously during showering, you can get dermal exposure. For the chemicals, there is a chemical safety data card, which comes out of NIOSH, that is you can access directly from WSET to provide another agency's view of information about the contaminant. It gives you both occupational information as well as general risk information. Go on a little more information about the medical information. We talk about system onset. With the original contaminants, the system onset was often very short. Obviously, with pathogens, the onset can be significantly longer. Is there treatment? What's the first aid? And then descriptions as to what to do. We talk about the data in WSET being the fact that there are a limited number of people who have access to it. But in responding to an emergency, people who have access can share the information with those who need it. So obviously, providing first aid information to first responders is very important. And this feels a lot like. And then there's more. Well, that's following the same thing. Here we go. So references and citations. If we back up, this shows the same page. You can choose a view by selecting at the bottom. You'll see view references. And so next to each contaminant, each data information, a hyperlink shows up, and this provides you with the reference where the data came from. Clicking on the hyperlink will pop up a screen which provides the actual link, if it's available, to the reference. Often it's it'll take you to a PDF. However, if it's in a number of journals where EPA doesn't have a license to give that, it'll just take you to the page where you can buy a journal article. But if you come from an academic environment, your library will usually let you into those. You can follow that link further. This is a case where it took you a little bit further into it to give you more information as to where the data came from, in this case about organophosphate toxicity from malathion. So to speed this along, this is just additional information that's in WSSET about mortality and morbidity and times to disease. Excuse me. There we go. And then we get to toxicity information, where toxicity information are available. Again, ingestion, inhalation, and dermal. LD50s, LC50s, MCLs, health advisories, different values that may be useful in determining what to proceed. Health advisories are important to the drinking water system because if an MCL does not exist, the health advisory is an EPA, a non-regulatory level, but suggests that for the length of that health advisory, a level at that amount or below would be acceptable in drinking water. So one of the things that happened a few years ago was WSSET was merged with a database that was owned by the U.S. Geological Survey, which was called NEMI-CBR, which stood for a National Environmental Methods Index for Chemical, Biological, and Radiological Contaminants. And in that, they provided a lot of information on how to detect the contaminants in water, providing the method name, where did it come from, could you get it, how quickly could you get the results, was it good for screening or was it good for confirmation, and the instrumentation necessary to find it so that you could determine whether your lab was able to detect that. Also in this field, which is a flag, EPA has developed a list of methods that they just changed the name of it. It used to be standard analytical methods, and now it is, I forget, but it's SAM, which is meant to be when you go back to the 9/11 events and the collapse of the World Trade Center. There were a number of air monitoring samples taken in order to determine the amount of asbestos in the air. And the problem was that half of the labs used one method to detect asbestos, and the other half used a different method. And the two methods, the results could not be compared. And so therefore, you had a lot of data. You essentially had two different data sets that could not be merged together. And so EPA decided that what they needed to do was, in trying to have these multi-laboratory analyses in case of a disaster, to establish a single method that was the method that should be used for these so that every lab would follow the same method and therefore the big data sets could be compared. And in the case where it has a green flag, this is the method that's in SAM, and the green flag tells you that not only is it the method in SAM, but it has been a validated method, either in a single lab or multi-lab validation, so that it should work. There is another flag, which is a yellow flag, which says that it is the method in SAM. However, it has not been validated because no validated method exists, and very often it's either just comes from a paper or EPA or another agency hasn't made it into a standard method. The latest thing that EPA has added to WSSET is a contaminant response expert system, which is known as the CBR Advisor. This was also developed by USGS as part of merging the two databases, and CBR, again, chemical, biological, and radiological. The CBR Advisor has this little two-screen, two-column effort It allows you to look at, there was a publication called the Response Protocol Toolbox. It has essentially converted it to being an online, and rather than just searchable, it's made it into more of a database where you can go through the different parts. What is it you want to do? Do you want to plan? How do you want to respond? Do you need to collect samples? And the left side, you get to choose what you're looking for, and the right side explains to you how to use the information that's on the left side. There's the hard copy of the Response Protocol Toolbox. Very hard to find now because no one publishes books anymore. But now when you want to, if you are interested in WSET and would like to register, it's simple. You go to the site, epa.gov/WSET, and from there, there will be a link on how to register. I'll follow that information. The WSET Program Manager can be found at the easy email address of WSET@epa.gov. In addition, when you follow the links, you go to register, you'll get to this page, which is EPA Central Data Exchange. Depending on your background, you may already have access to the data exchange for other databases, in which case you can log in and then just go to your account and add WSET to it. If not, you click the button that says Register for CDX. Like any registration site, you answer a lot of questions, and when you're done, you'll get to choose WSET. The other thing that we've instituted starting last year is hands-on training. We've done training before in settings like this where somebody stands in front of you and goes through the whole process, and at the end of it, we find out nobody knows how to use it. They've seen it, but now what happens is it is a large conference call. Everybody on the conference call needs access to the internet and a computer, and we walk people through a scenario, and step by step, click this link, touch this button, whatever, and when you're done, and by the end of it, we find that actually most people have now at least run through one scenario and can at least have experience using WSET. It's delivered via the internet and telephone, and if you're interested in training, email the program manager at wsit@epa.gov. In conclusion, contamination threats to drinking water are serious for drinking water and wastewater system. EPA's tool, WSET, is now there to support the public health response efforts. And I encourage you to register and become familiar with WSET beforehand. Because of this registration step, some things don't happen immediately. The only people who are there to review registration are Monday through Friday from about 9 to 5, and they don't do it all day. There aren't that many registrations. So in case of emergency, it's too late. Register, take the free training, get used to it, and try the system out. And we're going to hold questions till later.